Happy Halloween, Matt Neely. Happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween, Dr. Aaron.
I went to the Caliber Advertising Agency party last night. It was great.
Epic.
I was dressed as a University of Arizona professor. It worked out
really
great.
Did you pull it off?
I did. They all bought it big
Commit
time.
To the bit, Ed.
Yeah, it was great. And it was great to be with so many people. Shout out to my friend Deb Wagner from Arizona Lotus, who announced her retirement, and Deanne Thomas has taken over as the general manager, so I just thought I'd shout that out. That'll make Patty cringe, but I'm glad I said that out loud. So happy Halloween to you, Matthew, and how was the kickoff luncheon yesterday for the Arizona Bowl?
It was fine and full of community spirit.
That's great.
Yeah,
that's great. Kicking off a good football season here as they get the bowl going. So thanks for representing Bustos down at the table. That's great. This morning, they're coming to you live from Bustos Media Studios at KVOI and streaming live on Facebook and YouTube at live at 10:30 The Voice. And we're going to talk about a new chapter for Tucson, the Arizona Inn. We want to thank Cassandra Quirk, the Director of Sales and Marketing, who arranged a couple of gentlemen to come in and talk to us about the purchase of the beautiful, fantastic Arizona Inn. Jim Berwick from Berwick Insurance Group. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning.
And Greg Armato, Armato and Associates. He's a CPA. Good morning, Greg.
Good morning.
And so welcome and congratulations on the purchase. So you and your partners bought the Arizona Inn, and congratulations on that. That's a big thing for Tucson, and we're glad that some Tucsonans jumped in and bought that. So the Arizona Inn is such a Tucson institution. I was telling you before we went on the air about how my father and mother used to really enjoy being there and in special times and Christmas and all the wonderful things that the Arizona Inn has gone. Going back to the 30s, my parents came here in the 50s, but they really loved the Arizona Inn. How do you balance this incredible history, introducing new, fresh ideas with this new ownership?
We look at the inn as historic property that's been there for 95 years. We're going to be hitting 100 years soon. And
we want to help you with that party.
It's going to be a great party. And we're going to bring back some of the traditions that we'll talk about probably later here. But the Arizona Inn is, the way we look at it is, the Greenway family was the owners of it for 95 years, and our group will be the new stewards of the inn. We don't look at it as an ownership. It belongs to Tucson. It is an iconic property. It's the crown jewel. It's, if you're from Tucson or spend any time in Tucson, it is the property that everybody talks about. Everybody has their stories. They were engaged there. They were married there. They had the graduation there. They had celebrations of lives there. It's the property that everybody wants to.
It was kind of the first of the first resorts, too.
Yes.
at least at that level, and such a fine dining and fine accommodations. What a nice, beautiful place. You just feel like when you step onto the grounds that you're kind of in another little world.
It's you're just, in an oasis over those grounds. If you have not been to the Arizona Inn lately, the grounds are still amazing. They're full of colorful flowers and real grass and trees.
Right. And well kept, too.
You will not see another property like that in Tucson, Arizona.
Right, right. So, Jim, what's the story you want to tell about the Arizona Inn as you guys take over and try to keep the history but also move into the future? What story do you want to tell to Tucsonans?
We just want to, continue the legacy of the Arizona Inn and just keep it beautiful and just, bring it back to life and, but not change anything and just have it really, back to life, beautiful and, want people to start coming back and, enjoy the experience that they've been doing over the years.
Like all hotels and properties, COVID was a big hit to tourism in Tucson,
correct.
And especially to the Arizona Inn, a huge hit. And, weathered that storm pretty well and came out doing pretty good. And it's been nice. So, Greg, what can guests expect in terms of updates, new amenities, dining experience, or are you going to try and pretty much keep things pretty consistent?
Well, yeah, I guess the best way to say is we're going to refurbish it, but trust me, the pink stucco is not going anywhere. Right? People have asked us about that. The character of it's not going anywhere. What we have already done is we've replaced all the soft goods, meaning brand new mattresses, brand new linens, towels, soaps, signature scents, we've taken the pool and we placed all the pool furniture there with really mm-hmm. high upgraded furniture with yellow and white striped, and it was very beautiful. And so we continue to do that, and then we have plans down the road to, which we will get started with as soon as possible, to build a spa. It'll be the state-of-the-art spa. It'll have 7 treatment rooms. It'll have men's and women's locker rooms. It'll have a cold plunge, spas, saunas, steam rooms, et cetera, salt rooms. So
really stepping into the future while at the same time preserving the past and the history.
Yeah, you said it perfectly.
That's great. So, Jim, you've been here a long time in Tucson, and we have a great hospitality landscape in Tucson. How does, in the face of competition, there are some beautiful resorts here, up on the hill and surrounding, and how does the Arizona Inn stand out from all of those other options that people have? And, of course, its location close to the U of A is obviously one huge benefit. Yeah,
I think we have, there's a lot of great properties around, Tucson. We're very fortunate. It's a great, we got great weather and everything like that, but I think,
our lead into this says that 7 million visitors a year come to Tucson, and that's tourism is huge in Tucson. Yeah. It's the after government, it's the number one business after government stuff. So
yeah, it's just a beautiful place to be, and then, like you said, it's down by the University of Arizona, kind of midtown and everything like that. It's just a great place, and I just think that more people coming here is going to be beautiful.
Right, that's fantastic. So the Inn has always been part of the local fabric and the Tucson community there. As you said, so many people have stories of being at the Inn, and whether it be the beautiful Christmas trees in the room, come in and sit around and have hot cocoa and look at the beautiful trees, or just having a wedding there or whatever it would be. What are some ways that you're thinking about strengthening the ties and reinvigorating those community ties?
Yeah, so there are some traditions that have been around for the Arizona Inn for a long time, and you touched upon one of them, which is the Christmas tree in the library. Everybody mm-hmm. loves that library, but we're going to take it a step further and really embrace the holiday season with trees and stuff out on the main property, not just mm-hmm. in the library. We're bringing in a snow machine, and we'll have a little snow there. Maybe it'll be live, but probably fake.
we got to get those Tucson Arizona Boys chorister over there to sing.
Absolutely.
Yeah, they've been there many times. Yeah,
correct. And so we want to bring back high tea. We want to bring back the ice cream social. We want to bring back those type of things that we all remember growing up as kids, and reinvigorate those traditions. They were great traditions.
Oh, fantastic! And what a great memories. As you talk about those things, memories are flooding my mind about things.
That's correct.
That are great about. I was telling you again earlier before we went on the air that I sometimes just go by and sit in the lounge and just kind of debrief my life and so forth, and just kind of sit there and enjoy the ambiance. And there used to be a guy named Linish was his name, who sat in the corner and played the piano in the lounge. He did that for 20-30 years. He played just kind of that kind of stuff. It's kind of old school, but it was kind of really posh and nice and very relaxing and so forth. So you got a group of people together. Jim, tell us a little bit about some of the people in the group of who you got together.
Got myself, got my CPA Greg Amato here, and we got Phil Amos,
right.
And we have Brian Strange, and Brian is the one. He's our partner, but he's also our managing partner.
So he's the hotel.
He's the hotel. He's going to be running the hotel.
Right.
And then we have Steve Kerr on board as well too.
Who's that guy? Yeah, I never heard of that guy.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Great guy.
He and his wife are wonderful people, and they love Tucson as well.
Yes.
And he's just a wonderful, wonderful guy. I'm sure you guys know him probably better than I do, but what a wonderful, wonderful man he is.
Yeah.
So it's great to have some people that really care about Tucson. I really care about the future of the Arizona Inn to be ownership group, and that's good. And of course, you guys are big into that, and you let him spend his money. That's good. As his CPA, that's good.
Good,
Greg. I'm glad that you let him spend his money. That he instead of sitting around just counting gold bricks and polishing gold bricks in his room, now he gets to go and spend a little bit on the Arizona Inn.
Yeah.
What a beautiful place. So, what is the group when the group decided to do this? What was the collective vision that you had as who's in charge, who's on first, what are we going to do, mm-hmm. how much are you going to put in, that kind of stuff? How did that all kind of come together and yeah. you get that group that kind of solidified that was going to say, okay, we're going to do this thing?
It was kind of a moving target. Jim kind of spearheaded it. He's had it. He and his wife, Karen, have had an eye on the Arizona Inn for right. several years. And yeah. they said
there have been rumors for 5, 6, 7 years.
That, right. correct.
That she, the Greenways were trying to get yeah. ready to sell.
My wife, Karen, was 5, 6 years ago. She's like, yeah, this comes up. We are buying it.
Yeah. right. She said, if you don't buy it, I'm buying it.
So, happy wife.
Amen. Jim.
Jim came up with kind of the idea of let's right. go, and he brought the project to me, and then I said, well, I want to be a part of it, not just as an advisor. So
right.
there's primarily the four main right. partners or equal partners are uh-huh. Jim Berwick and his wife and myself and my wife and mm-hmm. Phil and his wife Mimi and Brian and his wife Shamra. Uh-huh. And then we have Steve Kerr in as a right. limited partner. And
great. Can I give you $5 right now and be a limited partner?
We've been asked about that several times.
I bet you have been, yeah.
yeah.
I might have 20 in my pocket. I don't know. But, you know, I'm going to invest in the place because I'm going to go there like I always do.
We appreciate that. Yeah,
and enjoy the ambiance and enjoy the delicious food and the great ambiance. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll talk a little bit more about the Arizona Inn. Our guests this morning are Jim Berwick from Berwick Insurance Group and Greg Amato. Amato and Associates CPA. They are the new ownership group of the Arizona Inn. We'll come back and talk about the holidays and what will be expected at the brand new, beautiful Arizona Inn. You're listening to The Morning Voice.
The artist, Greg Karukas. The song, Isabella.
Welcome back to The Morning Voice on this Halloween Friday morning. We're talking with Jim Berwick from Berwick Insurance Group and Greg Amato from Amato and Associates CPA. They're part of the new ownership group that purchased the Arizona Inn and are preserving that beautiful landmark in Tucson. We'd also like to give a shout out to Cassandra Quirk, who is the Director of Sales and Marketing. Boy, is she a breath of fresh air. She is a wonderful, wonderful professional, and you guys are lucky to have her on board. And we're going to get in touch with her and help her with that 100th anniversary because that's going to be fun. So she's a wonderful person. So. Well, guys, you are into a new chapter of the Arizona Inn, and you have a lot of creative energy behind the scenes. Of course, we've got the holidays coming up here, and what are some of the things that if people wander over through Thanksgiving into Christmas, what are some of the cool things that are going to be happening at the Inn?
Yeah, so like we mentioned right before the break is we're going to bring back the Christmas tree, and that will for sure be in the library, but we like to mm-hmm. take it to the outside, and we're going to be doing, like I said, the snow machines, and there's a little idea of potentially having an ice rink there.
Yeah, you said we weren't going to mention that, and you went ahead and mentioned it. What? Jim's looking at him like, what? Yeah, you said we weren't going to mention that.
And so we'll hold judgment on that, but we'll see what
happens. It's going to happen. Jim wants it.
It's going to happen. So
I think it'd be incredible.
Yeah. We were talking about that at the Hotel Del Coronado. They do that, and it's a beautiful little skating rink out, and people sit and have their hot right. chocolate and watch them skate or go skate themselves. It's kind of cool. It's really neat, yeah. So talk a little bit, are you going to do anything special for Thanksgiving in terms of meals and stuff and yeah, Christmas and so
yeah,
forth?
Yeah, actually, coincidentally, they just opened up the reservation systems for Thanksgiving dinner.
Mm-hmm.
And you probably ought to make your reservation soon
now,
because
yeah.
our F&B manager, Hector, had indicated to us that they already have they have a lot of reservations already in the system in one day. So we would love for people to come down and see the Arizona Inn, walk the grounds, have a nice meal with family, and let us do the cooking.
And you don't have to, you know, if for instance they sell out at you sell out at Thanksgiving, it's still a good place to bring guests just to come and be in the library and kind of meander around, stop into the lounge and have a drink. They have a beautiful patio. That patio that overlooks the grounds is great. Out by the pool, what a gorgeous view that is out there.
And you've got to come and see the pool now. The new lounge chairs and everything. It's absolutely beautiful.
So you could literally, you know, it's not swimming season per se, but you could still come out over the holidays and kind of wander down to the pool area and have a nice experience and just to walk around the grounds where they have the area there where the weddings usually happen out on the grass out there. That just a be around. You don't see a lot of grass anymore in any of these resorts. It's mostly desert landscape, which is understandable. But this kind of harkens back to the 30s, 40s, 50s when this kind of I call it kind of a, it's our Tucson Disneyland landscape. You know, when you go to Disneyland, everything is prim and proper and perfect, and that's kind of what the Arizona Inn is. It's just a beautiful ambiance.
Yeah, we have a landscaper team that's been with us for 20-plus years, and they're amazing.
Right.
And we've talked to some other people, and they said, whoever these guys are, do not let them go.
Right.
And so that kind of back to the pool situation, it's beautiful, and we're going to get reinstate service down there, so you can come down there and you can get a drink, a cocktail. We're going to have a bar cart. There is a bar down there already that's existing, and then we'll have a bar cart and maybe a champagne cart, and of course we'll have food that will be able to come. That's coming down the pipe pretty soon.
Right.
But not quite there yet.
Yeah, well, you'll get there. You'll get there. It's just amazing. You know, I think back of, we were talking about having the boys' chorus come over, Linda Ronstadt singing at the Arizona Inn, and there's just been so many, Tucson is so rich and full of history of lots of popular people over the last 90 years who have come through Tucson and stayed at the Arizona Inn. So it has such a rich history. And then, of course, lots of people still come from the Midwest and back east and make their reservations a year in advance, maybe 2 years in advance to come back because families have been coming here for years, and they really enjoy that experience. But during the summer specifically, it's also a good place for Tucsonans to go because obviously the shoulder season or the off season in Tucson is a powerful thing because you can enjoy the amenities of a fine resort like the Arizona Inn for a little less expensive room cost because of the seasonal thing. So certainly make your reservations. So you have people coming in during the summer, should make some reservations now for the future, right?
Yeah.
And you've also got a nice ballroom that you can have some events in and have, if you're looking for a place to have a Christmas party, or it might be a little bit getting a little late for that, but certainly spring weddings and other things. Beautiful ballroom there.
Yeah, we have a large ballroom that holds close to 200 inside and in an outdoor patio.
That beautiful patio
attached
next to it. Right?
Yeah, and then we have three other rooms in the hotel that hold smaller amounts.
Just south of the
correct. Yeah. So those will hold, you know, you can open the doors and make them much bigger.
Right.
And then of course we have the Flandreau House for like private, what we would call more private parties. A lot of weddings are held there, graduation parties.
I've been there a couple of times for the University of Arizona. We'll have retreats there and they'll be working during the day in the house, and then they'll go out on the patio for lunch and for dinner. It's been very nice, beautiful locations. It's very peaceful.
Yeah.
It's amazing how peaceful it is there when you you come off Speedway, you come off Campbell, you know, it's this busy, crazy going on, and you walk onto the grounds of the Arizona Inn, and you just kind of feel this serenity.
You exhale.
Yeah, you exhale and say, this is what life should be like. This is going to be great. So, well, Steve, he's got a little bit going on with, he's got a job that takes him all over the world, but.
It's a little busy.
Will he be coming in for some of the events and so forth? Because he alone would be a draw for many people.
Absolutely.
I don't think he has any fingers and thumbs left for the rings that he's won for the NBA. I talk about him in my classes at the U of A about how, he had four or five with Chicago, and now he's got another five or six with Golden State. He's an amazing guy, and I would probably put him up there at the top, if not the top five guys in Arizona sports history in terms of having those of us that have been around for a long, long time know the name Steve Kerr. So it's great that he and his wife are involved in the ownership group and putting back into that. So you have some plans for the future, and it's listed on the National Register of Historic Places, so you can't do much. Like you say, the pink stucco is going to stay, and the design of it's going to stay pretty much relatively the same, right?
That's correct. It is on the historical registry, and so that actually, I think it's a great thing. It protects it,
right?
And which is why it's on there,
right?
And so we're going to do things to preserve it, but freshen it up, liven it up.
And God bless the Greenways for sticking with it for 95 years, because they were amazing to stewards of that, and they just had a vision, I think, that was unique to Tucson at that time. So what's it look like at the Arizona Inn? This is 2025. You guys have come into a radio show. 10 years from now, you'll come back to my radio show, and we'll talk about what did that 10 years, what does a decade look like for the Arizona Inn?
So we as a group had talked about, we're not here to, we have had several people say, are you going to buy this, get it up, you know, to stabilization and then sell it? And the answer is no. Mm-hmm. The four of us want to keep this for maybe another 100 years also next right. to our and on to our family. And the three of us, the Burricks, the Amoses, and the Amatos live here, have mm-hmm. lived here for a long time. And it's a very important asset to us and to the community, and we'd like to keep it that way.
That's very comforting to hear that, and very, very good for the history of Tucson. As a guy that was born and raised here, it's a wonderful place. Well, good luck to you and to the ownership group, the Arizona Inn. We want to thank Jim Berwick and Greg Amato, two of the people involved in the new ownership team, and we want to thank Cassandra Kirk for being our entree to getting you guys in here, and good luck to you. And we're going to see you over at the Arizona Inn and enjoy the holidays
yeah,
with you.
Yeah, thank you. Right. We look forward thank to seeing you.
Thank you very much. Good Happy
luck.
Halloween.
Yeah, good luck to you, and God bless you both. Thank you.
Same to you.
Welcome back to The Morning Voice, and a happy Halloween on this wonderful Friday morning. This is KVOI 1030 AM, Tucson's live local talk station, and you're listening to The Morning Voice. And we talked about, going to the Arizona Inn and being kind of centered and relaxed and getting your perspective right. So a great segue into our next guest we have with us this morning, Theo Windisch, who's a behavior analyst, and Lindsay Abbott, a center director of Autism Spectrum Therapies of Tucson. And a point of personal privilege here, I know Theo through the Base Camp for Veterans charity that we've been working on for a couple of years. He and his partner Deborah Plum started that 7-8 years ago, and had a great event the other night, and thank you for inviting me, Theo. That was awesome. And but this is your day job. Your day job is to work with patients and get their mental of acuity going great and working. And you've done it with me after I had a little bit of a downtime with getting run over by a city bus during the election. You and I had a nice conversation about how important it is to center yourself and be positive about the things coming on. So good morning to you both.
Thank you. Thank you. Happy to be here, and really appreciate you talking about Base Camp for Veterans, and also the opportunity to talk about my day job.
So. Yeah, your day job. Well, let's start with your day job boss, Lindsay Abbott. Lindsay, tell us a little bit about what you guys do at Autism Spectrum Therapies and your center here in Tucson, and how you all help people.
Absolutely. We're also known as AST within our Tucson community, and we do serve individuals of all ages diagnosed with developmental diagnoses such as autism. We support them in building meaningful and functional skills across a variety of areas, utilizing behavior analytic principles. And in those areas, we focus mostly on communication, socialization, play, leisure skills, just to name a few for families. We provide services across a variety of different environments, such as the community, public, private schools, homes, and we also have a learning center that is located on Grant and Craycroft area.
Right. And so, Theo, you work with parents and kids who have autism, and you work with them, and you have a great way with people just in general. I see you working with the veterans from BCI. I just see your gentle touch that you have in terms of getting people to open up and talk. How do you use this individualized care with every child that comes in and talks to you? Tell us a little bit about your technique and what you do as a person that's kind of provide these services.
Sure. Well, so no two people are alike. Everybody is different and comes with their own unique set of goals that they'd like to work on. So even though people might share a diagnosis, that doesn't necessarily mean that you're always looking at the same thing. So I think one of the most valuable assets that we have as humans is that critical thinking and that ability to dive in, share, listen, and hear what's going on with these individuals. We really like to partner with families and understand what is the main goal, what's going on in that person's everyday life. So it really is a person-centered approach that we take. And I think that's our biggest tool as well, that we want to look at this individual as this, you know, whole product of somebody that we're trying to understand entirely and what is valuable to them. And that is really the guiding principle of how we begin to develop those plans, begin to develop goals. Those little step-by-step guides that we take is really guided primarily by what is important and what is the value system of the individual.
And what's really important with what you do is you're working with the parents and the caregivers as well and developing a holistic plan for growth as you do work with the individual child or the individual themselves, but you're really developing a kind of a holistic approach with parents and caregivers as well.
Yeah, our partnership with parents and caregivers is so important. And we look at that family relationship as not just observers and people who are coming to treatment, but rather as an active, engaged partner in what we're doing. It's so valuable for the family to be involved because they spend so much more time with their child than we do. We get the opportunity to spend a few hours with them a week, but really what matters is when they go home, when they go to the restaurant, when they're at Costco. That's what really matters. And those are the things that families really come to us and they say, this is a struggle point in our home, in our life. And so we get to work with these families, both in the community, both in the learning center and in their homes, trying to really partner with them and come up with those plans that help them be successful on their own.
What is one of the most rewarding parts of your work as a behavior analyst and when you're working with these kids and parents? What's your centering point that gets you excited about doing what you do for a living?
Oh my gosh, that's a loaded question. I could talk about that forever. But you know, one of the biggest things that, I mean, I almost will well up with tears when I see it time and time again, never gets old. I love it, is when a child starts to communicate and become more independent with their family, with their friends. The other day, we had a little boy walk out into greet his parents, and he put his hands up and said, hug to his mom. Oops, hands down, my week was made. So those are the successes that we get to see and witness every day in our life. So that's the most rewarding part, is seeing that child develop their own independence.
That's fantastic. Our guests this morning are Theo Windisch. He is a behavior analyst, and Lindsay Abbott. She is the center director for AST here in Tucson. And Lindsay, could you tell us a little bit about when a family gets over to AST in the center there, who are you serving, and who is the typical group that comes in, family-centered group, or is it individuals, or what does it look like when you go over to AST?
Yeah, so, you know, as AST as a whole, we work with a variety of different ages. So we basically refer to it as the lifespan of an individual. So we can work with individuals that are as young as 2 years old, and we can work with individuals that can be as old as 67 years old.
Sure.
And we really individualize our treatment based on the family's needs or on the individual's needs, right? As if they're adults, they may have their own set of goals that they would like to work towards. And that's what's so amazing about the behavior analytic field, is that these are teaching principles that we use and we embed in the everyday life of an individual. And we walk with the family or the individual towards those values or goals that they have set forth for themselves. So that's what I think is kind of amazing and great and unique about AST, is that we do work with all ages. In regards to our learning center, how we provide therapy within our learning center is that we do have a one-on-one approach where a behavior technician and the child or learner do go within several different activities throughout their day. It depends upon how long they are within our learning center. And they engage in one-on-one therapy. They also are integrated into small group learning activities, such as, calendar time, circle, activities, arts and crafts, literacy, you know, all of these amazing and enriching experiences for these learners. We also have, you know, social play opportunities as well to work on their individualized treatment goals.
It's interesting that you talk about it can be from, you know, age 5, 6, 7 up to age 67 plus. I happen to teach at the University of Arizona, and over the years, in that long span of time, I've had students who have had autism. I happen to have one in my class right now who literally walked up to me after the second or third class and said, "I just want to tell you I have autism, and I am not disengaging or anything. It's just, this is who I am," and just really embraced it, and is doing real well, by the way, doing really well. And it was kind of neat to have that honesty come out and acceptance of that. And we just treat him like everybody else, and he's doing a great job. And there's some things every once in a while, but his behavior is really powerful. So,
well, and kudos to that individual, because that's really empowering. And that's one of the main things, is that self-advocacy, finding that voice and being able to communicate effectively with your environment. You know, one of the things that I think a misconception about autism is that it's something that is fixed. Mm-hmm. But really, it's not. It's about being able to work with somebody, being able to help that individual access their world a little bit more confidently and comfortably.
And that's, and you can see that too. You can see that if you've, this gentleman's probably 24, 25, a little bit older student, because he's, you know, kind of had trouble going through classes, but he's just so proud of himself that he's made it this far, and we're helping him all we can to get through the final hurdles of his college career. And you know, he's not, obviously he's not behaviorally afflicted where he can't speak or anything like that, but he is. It was interesting that he came in and just admitted it. And to what you said, Theo, part of that is just the recognition that you, it's like, I've got a broken arm and I can't use that arm, so I'm going to make do with what I have and do the best I can with what I have. So it's a kind of an interesting approach. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll talk more with Theo Windisch, who is a behavior analyst, and Lindsay Abbott, who is the Center Director for Autism Spectrum Therapies, known as AST, in Tucson, Arizona. And we'll talk about the great success that they've had in treating their, I guess they're not called patients, call them guests, who come into the center and help them dealing with autism in their life. You're listening to The Morning Voice. Welcome back to The Morning Voice, and happy Halloween. Happy Halloween to you, Matt. Of course, we got football tomorrow, 1:30-ish, I think. We got a kickoff in Colorado, right?
Let's hope for a treat, not a trick.
There you go.
4 o'clock, I believe.
Yeah, 4 o'clock, you're right.
Yeah, I think so.
And then we also have U of A band day tomorrow. There'll be tons of bands and all in from all over the region coming in and competing on the field at Arizona Stadium. I'll be down there doing that. So we got a busy weekend ahead. And
the players tried to take the field. The marching band
refused to yield. I love it. I love it. Hey, speaking of lots of different things going on, I was out at White Stallion Ranch with Theo Windisch and Deborah Plum at a BCI event. And Theo's with us. He's a board certified behavior analyst. And Lindsay Abbott is the center director for AST Tucson. And we're talking about autism therapy and what that looks like today and how families can access that support. But again, I'm going to embarrass you, Theo, and say that I have seen you work individually with veterans who are experiencing PTSD and having a tough situation in their own personal lives. And to have those people stand up at the end at those dinners and talk about the difference that you have made in their lives and how they have repaired marriages, repaired lives, and you've saved lives. And you have just this little knack of just being a great behavior therapist. And I just want to give you kudos for what you do. You do a great job.
Well, I really appreciate that. Thank you. It's really an honor to be able to serve in that way. And it's also just one of the most remarkable aspects of my life that I get to share in those experiences. So yeah,
you do a great job. And I'm sure with the autism kids and those people that you're dealing with, you do that same kind of supportive environment. So Lindsay, what makes AST approach stand out when it comes to this welcoming environment for children and families and adults who are facing autism? What makes yours, obviously you got Theo, but what is the difference maker for AST's approach?
Well, I think one thing that certainly makes us stand out in the community, again, is that we work with the lifespan of an individual. You know, we, it, we are not confined by anyone's age. You know, we are really able to kind of support an individual or a learner that has an interest to build skills in a certain area. I think another unique thing about AST in the community is where we provide the support. We, again, are not confined to just a learning center. We can follow a child to a school or a social learning program during the summer. We are able to do any other community, areas that an individual may need some support in, as well as our learning center. So those are like the two, I think, cornerstones that help us stand out within the community. Another thing is, and this is going to kind of possibly go into misconception, is we do not have a standard of how many hours an individual needs to come get services with AST. We really want to individualize the treatment that we are giving a family. And just like what Theo said, is that partnership and that person-centered, family-centered planning is a huge aspect of our approach. And so based on the information we gather from either the individual, if they're an adult, or from the family, we are able to kind of tailor and prescribe the amount of hours we feel that family or that individual can make that meaningful progress. And so that is something too, learning can be exhausting. And so we want to be very mindful of that. And every moment is intentional, and there is always a learning and teaching moment within everyone's day. And so we want to make sure that we are giving families and that individual space to be within their community, as well as to be supported by behavior analytics services through AST.
Theo, she talked a little bit about misconceptions, and what are some common misconceptions about autism or the therapy that you provide that you wished more people understood about autism?
Well, like I was saying earlier, people sometimes come and they say, how long will this last? Or when is this going to be fixed? And I think that's one of the biggest ones, is really understanding that it's a lifelong journey, and it's a lifelong partnership with these individuals, of being able to help them, navigate their everyday life. I think the other thing is that, anybody who is taken psychology courses and, you've read about Pavlov's dog and all that, those things, where it's very restrictive in many ways. And that is just not ABA therapy at all. We work one-on-one with an individual, and we guide them through different procedures to help them break down bigger goals. And so usually if you come into our learning center, you aren't going to see these like very, I'm going to do this stimuli, and then you're going to get this response. It is very much more like, it almost feels like play in many ways, because we're having a great time in there. We're learning through social engagement. We're learning through different opportunities in that individual's natural environment. I think that is one of the biggest things that I wish that I could really share with other people. I know that there has been ABA of the past that has felt very restrictive and has been very much punishment-based, if you will. This is just not the way ABA is now, and it is very much about the future. It's very much about being able to provide those reinforcements, those feel-good moments. It's all about rewarding these positive behaviors and scaffolding up different skill sets for that individual.
Wonderful information on autism. Lindsay Abbott, Center Director, and Theo Windisch, a behavior therapist. We thank you both for what you do for the young people and all the people of Tucson who are afflicted with autism that you're helping. We really appreciate it, and their families and the communities in which they live. Thank you so much for being with us today on the Morning Voice.
Thank you.
Thank you.
This is KVOI, and we're listening this morning to Success Stories. Next up is Wonder from the University of Arizona. This is the Morning Voice on KVOI.
Now I'm wondering, what does Val Romero dress up as? I think we all know the answer. Yeah. Val Romero is out for Halloween.
Marilyn Monroe? I don't know.
Because he's Elvis all the rest of it. I would have said Elvis, but yeah, maybe he does do something different.
We'll have to ask
Tom
him.
Tom Jones or
there
something.
You go.
Maybe
there
mixes
you go.
It up a bit.
We'll have to ask him.
He can pull it off. Val Romero can pull anything off.
There so, you go. Yeah. Hey, we're going to talk for, this is Wonder, where we talk about the good things going on at the University of Arizona. I do want to just mention that this Saturday, tomorrow, is Band Day. We want to thank a couple of sponsors who've helped us with this. We have to thank Janet Hare and Darren Haley from the Doubletree Hotel. They have housed the Band-Aid judges for the last 20 years. And so every year they provide us with rooms for a dozen judges for a couple of nights. We just want to thank them and give them a shout out for their wonderful hospitality to the U of A Marching Band. We also want to give a huge shout out to Rick Croner and his team from the Arizona Sands Club. Rick and his team have hosted the Band-Aid judges for dinner. They've just done a fantastic, wonderful job. A matter of fact, a week from last night, Thursday of our homecoming week, they're going to have another U of A band. We'll do a pep rally at the Arizona Sands Club at 6:30. Got to call the Sands if you want to be involved in that opportunity. But we just can't thank Rick Croner, Darren Haley, Janet Hare enough for their sponsorship of the University of Arizona, Pride of Arizona. We just installed the Sudler Trophy in the Hall of Champions in the north end zone.
The Heisman Trophy of marching bands.
Yeah,
amazing. University marching bands.
Amazing. And to see what Chad Shoopman, the director, has done with that band and 287 students from all across the university. Really, really wonderful. So we wish them the best of luck here in the band day tomorrow. There'll be band starting at 8 o'clock in the morning. They'll go all the way till 10 p.m. tomorrow. So if you're looking for something fun to do, go watch high school bands from all over the region coming into Arizona Stadium for the 9 millionth band day. I don't know how long this has been going on, but probably 60, 70 years it's been going on.
When I was a young lad in Tempe, they would have a similar thing at ASU. And yeah. And so I had some friends that were in band, and obviously they it's a big deal.
It's a big deal. I'll be there. I'm going to be doing double duty. I'm going to be watching the band day, but I'm also going to be up in the Sands Club watching the game and doing both at the same time. So it'll be kind
perch.
Of fun. Yeah, there, a perch.
Like
from your seats where you sit.
Okay.
At the football game, so that's where I'll be.
All righty then.
And I also just want to give a shout-out to my good friend, my dean at the Eller College of Management, Dean Karthik Kanan, who has sent out our Thanksgiving boxes flyer to all of the employees at the Eller College supporting our Thanksgiving boxes. When he first came to the University of Arizona, we were doing Thanksgiving boxes, and he was one of the first donors that particular year and sent me a check, and I was just floored that the dean of the Eller College would think so much as to send me a couple of box donations. So he's always been a supporter. And he sent it out yesterday to my peers at the Eller College and the provost, Patricia Prelock, who the brand new provost, she has it in her and sent me back a note, and she's going to figure out a way to get it out to our friends who are all employed at the University of Arizona who might be able to donate $45 for a Thanksgiving box. So to bring you up to speed, the Morning Voice, KVOI, Coaches for Charity are putting together 150 Thanksgiving boxes to be distributed to schools in southern Arizona. And our good friend John Hone, executive chef at Gap Ministries, will be providing the boxes. And Bill, my brother Bill, will talk about that in just a minute of what's in the box. But joining us on the line is our good friend Val Romero. Val is a TUSD school board member and also the owner of Arizona Grill and Hearth. And Val, you got to drive the truck last year to help us get this stuff around to these schools. And this year we have our good friend Chris Edwards from Tucson Appliance will be providing a driver and a truck. So you and I are get to be on the unloading team as we get over to these schools. So, yeah. Good morning, Val.
Well, good morning. Good morning. I think we've always been on the unloading team. We just be in the caravan.
Yeah, yeah. Now we'll be in the caravan. So aloha to you, by the way, and happy Halloween.
Aloha, happy Aloha Friday, and yes, it happens to be Halloween. Don't ask me how to say that in Hawaiian.
Yeah. And my question is, Matt and I were wondering what you're going to be for Halloween. You dress like Elvis all the time. What are you? Are you dressed like Elvis today?
Actually, today is the day of amateurs. I just take the day off.
I love it.
Well, I'm gonna have Bill run through the six schools that we're delivering boxes to, and then we'll talk about the three that are TUSD schools. So, Bill, where are we sending boxes? 25 boxes to each of these schools. What are the schools this year?
The schools this year are Santa Cruz and St. John's, Utterback Middle School, and Apollo Middle School, Ochoa Elementary and Mission View Elementary Schools, so on the south side.
So three of those are in TUSD. Utterback, Ochoa, and Mission View are in your purview because you're a board member of the TUSD school board. Why is it important? Why have you jumped in with me to deliver these boxes and to be part of this initiative to deliver Thanksgiving boxes to our friends at these schools?
You know, and I think it actually started before I got involved with TUSD. I think I've been working with you on these for the last 4 years. I was trying to go back.
Correct.
And, you know, the biggest thing on this, again, it's about our community and some of our impoverished communities and some of our TUSD schools where maybe some of these families would not have the means in which to have a Thanksgiving, you know, turkey and the trimmings that go along with these meals. And, you know, it just shows a sense of community that, you know, we've got through, you know, Coaches There, Charity, GAP, you know, partnering with TUSDs to let our families know that we do care, you know, and there's other people in the community that want to make sure that them and their families have a great Thanksgiving, especially if they're in a tight time right now.
Yeah, we started about 8 or 9 years ago. My friend Richard Fimbres was a city council member, and he asked if I could get involved to help deliver a couple of boxes to a couple of schools. So we just had two schools, and then we added two more schools. Last year, we added two more schools. My friend Sixto Molina got us engaged with a couple of TUSD schools in South Tucson that needed some help. And so we have a total of six schools that we have now, and it's pretty impressive. How we do it is we give the principal and the teams at the schools are the ones that are determining who is going to be receiving the boxes. We don't have anything with deciding who gets the boxes. We just deliver the boxes, and they sort that out. So there's a lot of need in some of these schools, right, Val?
There is a lot of need. Like you mentioned, some of those schools, like in South Tucson and also Utterback and some of those impoverished areas, you know, and it goes a long way to helping these families.
And you know what you're talking about because you have visited all 88 schools in the TUSD school district. You made it a point in your first year as a TUSD board member to visit every single school over which you have make policy with the other board members. And so you've been to Mission View, you've been to Ochoa, you've been to Utterback, and you see what they're offering and what these families are struggling with, many of whom by tomorrow morning might be without their SNAP benefits and other things, and Obamacare goes up and so forth. So there's a more critical need this year than in a normal year.
Possibly, but like I said, the biggest thing like on there, like I said, yes, I have been to all these schools and I have seen, you know, there are needs in all of our schools, unfortunately, within TUST. But, you know, these have been some great programs that we've been able to partner with for the last couple of years. And, you know, I've built good relationships with those schools and those principals down there. You know, Karenika, you know, down in Utterback, she's probably been the one I've dealt with the most ever since I even got started in here. She was the first principal I visited when I started going to TUSD schools. So, these principals really love their families and their communities in their schools. Like I said, just a small donation to help on out to get these boxes to our children is huge. And like I said, we're doing Apollo, I believe Santa Cruz, and some of these other ones, Sunnyside and a Catholic school, again, in the similar area. And I know they all appreciate what you guys do.
Yeah, well, we appreciate you, Val Romero. We appreciate what you do helping us deliver the boxes. Sixto Molina will be with us, our good friend Jesse Lugo. We got some other folks that will be helping unload the boxes. So we start with loading up six palletfuls of boxes over at Gap Ministries. Chef John Hone and his team at Gap Ministries get these all prepared for us, and then we take a truck over there. Chris Edwards and his crew at Tucson Appliance will pick them up for us, and then we'll start that caravan, and we'll go around to each of these schools. And you're usually the one that's managing the logistics, and I stand around and look important.
I think I'm there for the photos. I just make us look good.
Yeah. I wear a coat and tie so I can't get dirty while I'm. Well, maybe we'll drag Matt with us this year. We'll just have to see. So, well, Thank you, Elvis, for being with us, and thank you for all you do for the students of TUSD and throughout the. And thank you just for being a good community partner. What do you say? Let's put there's a unity in community, and
that's unity in community. Yes, and I can see that example of that here with what we're going to be doing here on Wednesday before Thanksgiving.
Okay, thank you, Val. Appreciate you joining us here, and we look forward to seeing you in a couple weeks as we get these boxes out to all of our friends. That's Val Romero. He is the owner of Arizona Grill and Hearth, but he's also a TUSD board member, a great community citizen, and a good friend of the Ackerleys. And thank you, Val. We'll talk with you soon. We'll be back after the break. We'll talk a little bit more about how you can help by buying a box or sponsoring a box of Thanksgiving box for schools in South Tucson. This is The Morning Voice on KVOI.
Place is getting spooky, Dr. Ed.
I love that song. That's fun to play. Happy Halloween to everybody. You're listening to The Morning Voice. We're going to talk today a little bit about Thanksgiving on Halloween. That's pretty interesting that we're transitioning from one holiday to the other. We're giving a challenge to all of our listeners to give us a hand of a really important activity that we're doing for students in South Tucson and their families. We're providing Thanksgiving boxes. The Morning Voice has teamed up with a charity that Janet Hare and I created 16 years ago now, the Coaches for Charity charity, which we do high school and student activities. We have our football kickoff classic that we did in August, and then we do the high school and elementary middle school MLK basketball tournament coming up in January on MLK Day. Then we have the Ross Cruz Cougar Classic, which we help Dale Lopez with. And then we have a bowl-a-thon. We have Winter Haven Parking during the Christmas season. We also help at the Arizona Bowl with hospitality for the visiting teams. Obviously, they're both visiting, so we help with both sides of that. And we do a bowl-a-thon in June to get some sports equipment for elementary school. So we do a lot with Coaches for Charity over the years. But one of these really rewarding things that we do is we ask the community to come together and give us some donations to buy Thanksgiving boxes for school children and their families from the schools. Bill, could you again read the schools that we're helping out this year?
Right. The schools this year are Santa Cruz, St. John's, Utterback, Apollo, Ochoa, and Mission View.
So those are three TUSD schools, one Sunnyside school, and two Catholic private schools. And so this all started about 10 years ago with our good friend Richard Fimbres, who's now retired from the city council, asking me to help with a couple of boxes for a couple of schools. And now we're up to 150 boxes for six schools. And the principals identify the students and families that need some help. I think it's appropriate that we mention the people who have given so far. Howard Stewart from AGM Container Controls has given us a nice donation of 10 boxes. Christopher Lee from FinClair Financial. David Quintas has given us 4 boxes. Lydia Ronda, our great Monday host of Rainmakers, has pledged a couple, as well as Katie and Ted Maxwell. Ted is our Tuesday host. They have donated a couple boxes. We've got Kelly Abbott, in honor of her husband, Ron, has given us 4 boxes. The Tidy Up has given us 10 boxes. J.J. Delgado has given us 10 boxes, sponsored 10 boxes. Wade Schultz has given us 1. Carrie Gallardo, our good friend from Southern Arizona Cleaning Supplies, has given us 4 boxes. Dave Slavin and Monty have given us some help. Our police chief, Chad Kazmar, has donated. Isabel Lucero from Hop Sports Grills given us Sue Darling, the former U of A women's basketball captain, and I call her an All-American, and former NAU basketball coach. I'm going to an event at her place tonight. She's given us a couple. Oscar Lopez, Laura Vega, and Leo have given us 3 boxes. My brother and his wife, Keating and Mary Jane, have given us 2 boxes. This morning, woke up to a 10-box donation from Don and Johnny Sue Snyder. We want to thank them. They're the owners. We're the owners of the building where we do the Winter Haven Parking project. And we thank Don and Johnny Sue for their wonderful donation. And Gracie Quiroz Marum, who was here last week with CTSO, has given us 2 boxes. And Sherry Silver Berg from the Elder College has given us one. So we're up to 73 underwritten boxes so far. We need 150, so we have 77 more to go. And if you would like to donate a box, Bill, how do they give $45? First, tell us what's in the box. What do they get? What does the family get in the box?
Right. When we were at the Eat and Greet last week at the pad, you brought by a sample of the box, so we all got to see what was in it. It's a big turkey.
It's a big turkey. Yeah. And
I was kind of
I was there. You're calling me a big turkey? Oh, there was a big turkey in the box.
Yeah,
a
big turkey in the box.
And, I thought you were saying the big turkey brought the box is what I thought you were saying. So
I thought it was pretty interesting that there was, I think it was maybe a 3 pound, maybe a 5 pound bag of potatoes in there too.
Big bag of potatoes.
Bag of potatoes and then all the other fixings.
Right. Yeah. So. Bread and canned goods and green beans and all the things you would need to have a nice little meal for a family of four. I do want to tell one little interesting story. Thad Dugan was the principal of Apollo the first couple of years that we did this. He still turned out to be a good friend. By the way, he's a Tyler Loop fan. He was a football kicker in high school, and so we always love to watch Tyler Loop when he plays. But he was the principal of Apollo Middle School when we first started, and he called me one day and said, "Hey, do you mind if I give one of these boxes to a janitor instead of to a family school?" And I absolutely, and I said, "You know the need at your school more than anybody," and so. Not all of the boxes necessarily go directly to students. It sometimes goes to some staff that are struggling and need some help. So we're looking for $45 donations from anybody that can help us. $45 buys one box. Again, John Hone, executive chef at GAF Ministries. What a great program that is. If you don't know about that, you should investigate GAF Ministries. He's giving a second chance to so many people out there who are learning the culinary skills that he teaches. They're preparing the boxes for us. Chris Edwards and his team at Tucson Appliance are picking up the boxes for us. And then a group of us include, if you want to be part of this group, you can be, just let us know. But Val Romero, Sixto Molina, Jesse Lugo, myself, Roman Capizano, Giovanni Diaz has done it, Danya Clough, myself. We go around to the schools and we unload the boxes, and then the schools do distribution. We were at Utterback one time, and it was kind of cool. There were 25 cars lined up waiting for their boxes when we got there, and it was kind of nice to put the boxes in the back of the cars, and people were so thankful that they had some support from Coaches for Charity and The Morning Voice. Bill, how do people donate a $45 donation or more to sponsor a box?
Yeah, just go to the website, coachesforcharity.org, and it's spelled out F-O-R, and there's a tab on the top of the website that says Thanksgiving Boxes. Just click on that, and then you can use a credit card or PayPal or any other method to pay for the donation.
And it comes right directly to us. We get it that the moment you push send, we get a notification that you've purchased a box. And I encourage you, $45, I took my grandsons out to eat the other day, and for a group of four of us, it cost us well over $100. So $45 seems like it might be a little bit steep, but when you think about what Chef John and his team have done to provide both a turkey and all the fixings for a meal, $45, that's only what, Matt's better at math than I am. What is that, $11 each or something like that?
Sounds about right.
$11.25 or something like that. Yeah. I mean, seriously.
Carry the seven. I mean, I think it works out.
Yeah, seriously, to get to feed a family of four for $45 is pretty cool. So we appreciate John and what his team do. And so if you'd like to help us, I'm making a personal request to you now to help us out. If you can afford $45, matter of fact, if you can't afford $45 because of your own personal situation, but you could afford $5 or $10, you can also make a small dollar donation. It doesn't have to be $45. And if you happen to be a business and you're listening and you can afford 10 boxes, we'd appreciate that. 20 boxes. I told the guys from the Arizona Inn this morning, I said, you guys, you're limited to 100 boxes each. So we'll see what they come up with. So, but we want to thank the community for all your support and all the people who have given so far.
And just think, if you buy a lot more boxes, you make John Hone work even harder. Yeah, so even if it's just to make him work harder.
I love that.
We don't care what the motivation is.
Yeah. So we'll report into you as we go here as how we're doing. But I hope to have all of these boxes covered by the end of end of next week maybe and try to get everybody covered so that we get make sure we get 25 boxes to six different schools in South Tucson. So thank you all in advance. I know you'll come through. My listeners for the Morning Voice have just been phenomenal, and we appreciate all you do for the community. And Matt, thank you for the opportunity to share the Thanksgiving boxes with the Morning Voice.
You've got our help.
So. Yeah, we appreciate it. So, you're listening to the Morning Voice on KVOI. We'll be back with Wonder, talk about a really great project with the Eller College and an MSM student here at the University of Arizona. You're listening to Wonder on the Morning Voice.
It's Guaraldi, the Great Pumpkin Waltz.
Happy Halloween on this beautiful Friday morning, October 31st. What a beautiful day in Tucson, Arizona. Hey, I just made a plea for $45 baskets for Thanksgiving boxes for our friends at six schools in South Tucson. Thank you, thank you, thank you for those of you that have gone on to coachesforcharity.org and have pledged a box or two or three or five. We really appreciate it. I'll mention it one more time, hopefully before the end of the show. We really need your help getting 150 boxes delivered to our people. Go to coachesforcharity.org to make a donation. $45 sponsors one box for a family of four for some students down in South Tucson. So that's wonderful. And we, speaking of wonder, this is the hour that we talk about the good things going on at the University of Arizona. And one of those good things going on at the University of Arizona is the MSM project. It's a marketing master's. It's relatively new. It's been about 5-6 years old now. And my office mate, who's in the office next to mine, is the director. His name is Thinkar Roy, and he is a great guy. And he's got a bunch of young entrepreneurial type of wonderful students involved in the Master of Marketing program. And we have one of them with us today, and her name is Maya DeYoung. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
Well, you're in the master's program doing a good job of getting your psychology major, you said, but now you're in your master's program getting all the necessary marketing skills in for your master's, and you'll be graduating in May. Kind of a neat program, isn't it?
Yeah, it's super unique and it's super personalized to us. One thing about the grad program that I think is super different than the undergrad is there's only 40 of us, so all the professors know our names. We all know each other. Right. So it's inspiring and motivates me to go to class and do well.
Yeah, well, they've done a great job there. It's about twice as big as when they started. They started with about 20, I think, and now every year it grows a couple more. And these are students that are coming. They're international students. There's local students, people from Tucson, people from South Dakota. So it's a nice little program, and the MSM program at the Eller College is growing and doing well. As part of that, one of the things that you need to do, what they encourage, is an internship, externships, to get you to do some projects with companies, businesses, organizations that are affiliated with the University of Arizona. So you have a unique one that you're working with, which is the Chris Moon Foundation Golf Tournament. So tell us a little bit of how you got connected with them.
Yeah, so we have one career coach. Brett connected me through his connection to the Chris Moon Foundation. So I met with them. This is their seventh year doing the golf tournament that they do annually, and they've never had an intern before, and they were looking for help specifically in their marketing section. So I have taken over majority of the social media, helping them promote and get the word out there and get people more involved with the Chris Moon Foundation.
Great. Speaking of the Chris Moon Foundation, we are honored to have Marcia Moon with us. Marcia is the mother of Chris Moon. So good morning and welcome.
Good morning.
You tell us about your wonderful son, Chris, and about his deployment to Afghanistan and his wonderful legacy that he's left for the world.
Wow. I know I try to always try to share his story in such a quick time, but I know there's so much that I can say about him. Obviously, any parent would say that when they have children, they want to raise them with good morals, good values, good character. And I know I have two children. I have Chris and my daughter, Sunday. Sunday has given me three grandchildren and Chris, none, but he always, as a young kid, had a desire to want to serve the country. I would always catch him in the backyard with his little army men playing snipers and whatnot. And, you know, I pretty much was the mom that was like, no, you're not watching TV inside. You need to go outside. You need to get dirty. You need to, you know, so kind of like that. So both him, Chris, and his sister would do that. Later, Chris, you know, as a young boy, had his first BB gun and always wanted to be in that backyard pretending he was a sniper.
Right.
While growing up, Chris also did, our kids did BMX mm-hmm. as young kids, I would say 4 to 7 years old. We traveled a bit with that. Chris and Sunday, both our kids grew up athletically gifted. Mm-hmm. Chris kind of took a turn. He ended up in Little League Baseball. And we didn't realize, you know, how gifted he was. And learned from his mentors, ended up in club baseball. Had many opportunities that, you know, most young boys don't get. And it just seems like things fell on his lap. But in high school, it was nice because we were able to take a breath and just say, okay, high school's taking over. And I know, remember one quote his dad said, the minute you start throwing in my hand and it starts burning, he goes, I'm done. And of course, that moment came in high school. And from high school, he obviously, he graduated from Tucson High School in 2007. It was a pretty packed team with Coach Oscar Romero. Mm-hmm. And so you're talking, these boys are like over 6 feet. And I was like, how is my son going to compare to that when he came in a freshman? And I just thought, wow, how's this going to happen? He may not, you know, he may not get the opportunity. But lo and behold, he, you know, Chris did have an arm, and for some reason, his first practice, he was just practicing, and I guess the coach had said that he had thrown a baseball, and it was foul pole to foul pole, and he's like, this kid's just trying to show off. Mm-hmm. And he didn't, and it was just something, and he really watched him, and he says he's not going to be able to make the varsity team, he said, because we are pretty stacked. He goes, but I want you to send him along with us. So he was actually, as a freshman, playing at these the colleges, you know, mm-hmm. and going here and there. And it was scary right. for a mother because, you know, he's my baby.
Yeah.
And he just kind of, he just developed, I mean, from that. It was just really neat to see. He was pretty small, but his freshman to sophomore year, he ended up growing. And I remember he started eating me out of the house. And I just thought, this is ridiculous. And he ended up at 6'2".
Right.
So I can see why all the food eating was happening. But yeah. but with that, he still didn't ever hesitate. I know 9/11 affected him. Right. He was 12 years old. I'd always find drawings, you know, military-wise. I would find military books that, you know, his interest was there.
Right.
And I think what really sparked him was in Tucson High School, during the summer, he ended up attending the American Legion baseball. Mm-hmm. And I know that card that he had, it really cinched it. And right. just the reading of the more, you know, what it said in there.
Right.
And so he graduated as a 17-year-old in 2007, and what's the first thing he asked his dad? Dad, can you sign my waiver, the Army waiver? His dad looked at him. He said, what are you thinking? You have all these opportunities, university, all these colleges, University of Arizona, you know, Pima. You even were drafted by the Atlanta Braves, you know? So he's like, yeah, but I can always come back to that. You know, that was his thing. And his dad said no, unfortunately. So he chose the University of Arizona.
Right.
And
good choice, by the way, yeah.
Yes. And to our knowledge, it did not last long. He did a semester and he turned 18 and he was like, he sat us down. And not only did he sit us down, but he sat all his mentors down, his coach mentors, and mm-hmm. told them what he was going to do. And they kind of said the same thing his dad said. You know, but they were like, okay, look at, he's so selfless. He's just giving up this opportunity to want to serve our country. You right. know, it takes a certain individual, what is it, less than 1% to want to serve our country. Mm-hmm. And we just, I think his dad just said, you know, Chris, you're living our dream. And I think now you need to live your dream. Mm-hmm. And that was his dream, was to be a sniper. And he ended up enlisting. He ended up going through boot camp, you know, and then after that, he was eventually supposed to go through Rangers. But I think after Rangers, there was a delay or something happening, and all these guys that get together, they talk. They're like, you know, we can go 82nd Airborne. We can get our Ranger tabs through there. So that's what they did. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't long. Chris was in his company there at 82nd Airborne. where reconnaissance recognized him. I mean, you know, like I said, he was just naturally athletic, naturally gifted in that area. And so anything and everything he did, it was done very well. And it's funny because Chris is not, he's not a showboat. He's very humble, you know, in a sense, because he never will tell anybody anything. It's like these things kind of just happen and they come out of nowhere.
Right.
And people are all like, why didn't you tell me? And he's like, you know, that's just not who I am.
Right.
But so as going through the reconnaissance, he actually ended up going to sniper school, and he probably wasn't even there very long. He was able to finish his sniper school, you know, as with a perfect stock score, which mm-hmm. most people don't even do, and right. and in record time.
Right.
So you know that he was just, I know he was living his dream, and I know we had, the one thing about me and Chris was, I think it's a mother-son relationship, but we had many conversations, and you could just tell in his voice that he was just excited to do this.
Right. Well, that's a great story, and his tour of duty ended on July 13th, 2010 in Afghanistan, and what a great story about a wonderful young man who wanted to serve his country and did what he needed to do to be one of those 1% to give us the very best of the best. So thank you for loaning him to us and giving him to us.
Thank
Let's
you.
Take a break and come back and talk about the Chris Moon Foundation Golf Tournament coming up. And that's where you get to shine, because you get to talk about all the good things you're doing to help promote the event. You're listening to The Morning Voice on KVOI, and we're talking about Wonder, the good things going on at the University of Arizona. Happy Halloween on this wonderful Friday morning. This is Wonder, where we talk about the good things going on at the University of Arizona, sponsored by our great friends at Hughes Federal Credit Union and our friends at Caliber Communications, Caliber Group, who do a great job of helping spread the word about Hughes Federal Credit Union. I was a guest at their party last night. It was a wonderful Halloween party. We also want to thank our good friends at Caruso's Italian Restaurant on historic 4th Avenue for 93 years. They are the sponsors of Wonder, where we talk about great things going on at the University of Arizona. And one of those great things is the MSM program, where young people are learning to become masters of marketing. And our guest this morning is Maya DeYoung, who is a master's student, be graduating in May of 2026. Good morning again, Maya.
Good morning.
And you're working on a wonderful project for the Chris Moon Foundation Golf Tournament. And we also have Chris's Gold Star mom here, Marcia Moon. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
I just have to tell you, that was a very touching story that you shared with us about your wonderful son and his life and his dedication to wanting to serve our country. Again, I just thank you for his service and what you and your family are doing to honor his legacy. So, Maya, tell us a little bit about this golf tournament that's coming up. Where is it? When is it? What is it? Tell us all you can about the golf tournament. Since you're this master of marketing, this is your job. So
the Chris Moon Foundation hosts a golf tournament. This is the 7th year that they will be doing it. It's on November 15th, so it's coming up pretty quickly. At 8 a.m. is when it starts. But it is special this year because it's the first time they are giving out 1,000 scholarships to Tucson High School students.
Wow.
Five of those. They are giving five of those for the graduates of 2026 in high school for students going to second education.
Okay.
They will.
So five $1,000 scholarships.
Yes. Okay. Five $1,000
scholarships. Oh, you said 1,000 scholarships.
Oh, no, no, no.
Five
yes.
$1,000 scholarships.
Yep.
$5,000 is going to the students, kind of
yep.
like Chris, who are in school.
Correct,
and
yeah.
and moving their way through high school, right?
Right.
Into college.
Yeah. And it is special because it's the first year they're filling two golf courses instead of just the one.
Okay.
So we're looking for about 60 more people trying to golf on the 15th.
Okay.
So if anybody is
what
interested,
golf course?
The Randolph Golf Course.
Randolph Golf
yes.
Course. So that's a great, great, beautiful facility. They've had the
yes.
women's golf course there. They had the men's there. They had the senior tour there. So it's a great, great golf course. It's very challenging, but also very forgiving in many cases. So it's a great place. So even
yeah.
if you're not the greatest golfer in the world, it's still a fun tournament. You can
yes.
do some good things, right?
Yeah. We have lots of sponsors there giving out free sample drinks throughout the day. There's a lunch at the end, and then there's an auction to get raffle prizes.
Right. So one of the things that people can do if you want to donate, if you can't play golf, don't play golf, don't want to play golf, you can donate a tee sign. You can buy a tee sign, and that
yep.
helps with the scholarships. You can
yeah.
donate a prize,
yep.
And you can make that your donation, or you can just make a donation, give a cash donation and contribute towards the scholarship fund. So that's coming up on November 15th, early in the morning at Randolph Golf Course at 900 South Randolph Way or wherever it is. It's on Alvernon. I guess it's 400 South Alvernon or something like that. Yeah, so a great place to do that. So, Marcia, you've got a wonderful son, and you have a lot of memories, and of course it's difficult being a Gold Star mom, but you've been able to work through that with your husband and your daughter and develop this foundation to give some great honor to a young man that did the right thing. And what does it feel to be a mom so proud of a young man like that?
You know, as we talked earlier about morals, values, character, I don't think I would have, or I don't think we would have ever thought that it would come twofold or back. And even with the men that he served, can attest to Chris's character. And again, Chris didn't talk anything about his athleticism or all the accolades that he got. He was very humble in what he did. And I know.
It's ironic that he would have been, this is going to sound silly, but it's ironic that he was drafted by the Atlanta Braves, being a brave young man. It was very ironic that he would be able to go to the pros, but instead chose to be brave in another way.
Yeah, very cool.
So Maya, tell us again, how do we get a hold of you? How do they get, how can they make a donation? Where can they go to help you with the tournament?
Yeah, so on our website is just chrismoonfoundation.com. Same with email is chrismoonfoundation@gmail.com. And then if you're on social media, our Instagram account is just chrismoonfoundation. From there, you'll see Chris's story, but then also how to get involved, sponsor, register if you're interested for the tournament. And then also just see all the information about him and what you can do.
Great. Thank you, Marcia Moon, for being here this morning. Thank you for the service that your family has given to our country and what you continue to do to honor Chris Moon's legacy. We honor that and treasure that. Thank you, Maya, for being with us today. And you're a good example of the good things going on at the University of Arizona. And
you're,
I'm sure you're helping the foundation really well with this golf tournament. So good on you, and happy Halloween to you.
Thank you.
If you're interested in donating to the Chris Moon Foundation, go online and make that donation and help them out. If you'd like to help us with the Thanksgiving box, we're still looking for some more. $45. Go to coachesforcharity.org to help us out there. This is The Morning Voice, where we talk about success and wonder each week. Coming up on Monday, Rainmakers with Lydia Ronda. It's a great day to have a spooky outfit on today. So happy Halloween to everybody. And we're looking forward to a wonderful weekend. God bless you all. This is The Morning Voice on KVOI.